from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday.
I am having a nice little Tuesday.
Me too.
You know, I was listening to Bucks Sports North there, and I saw that story earlier about the center guy, the tennis player. And he got busted for the roids. He got busted for like a steroid cream.
Like Barry Bonds style.
Barry Bonds style. And my favorite part is that dude actually got away. They said, nope, no harm, no foul. They literally said that his massage therapist inadvertently rubbed it into him. What a great excuse, and somehow it worked.
And other players are furious.
Yes. The dude got popped twice with it, both samples.
Could that be true?
I don't know, but like this is like when the...
I mean, it seems plausible.
Really? Your massage therapist was
gets steroids on their own and then just rubs on you without asking?
Was just rubbing steroid creams into you?
She doesn't know. She's just like, I'm just going to...
Like, what?
I'm just going to roid him up against his will.
Like, it's just, it seems like...
Well, what was the... What
it was like a steroid cream.
It was an anabolic steroid.
So that's what it's for?
Well, yes. He had that in his system, and he was saying, I didn't mean to do this. He claims that a massage therapist that he works with all the time inadvertently bought a lotion that had steroid cream in it, which, like, really?
Well, so that's different than what I was just asking. If she bought a steroid cream...
Or he.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
They bought a steroid cream, that's what that is, then that's weird. But if it's just some lotion that happened to have... So well, I don't know.
So
I don't know.
He tested positive for anabolic steroids, doesn't accidentally show
so
up.
So we're just
cream.
Now, we're buying lotions, okay. And they just have roids.
That's
have
what I'm saying. Like, not that kind. Not
but,
anabolic
but
steroids.
But wait, he's saying that the masseuse...
Didn't know.
Inadvertently?
Yes.
So he tested positive twice.
Yes.
And they're like, how did this happen? And he's like, I have no idea. I'll try to figure it out. Oh, you know what? It must have been my masseuse. Yeah, he or she was using a cream that had some steroid in it, and I didn't realize.
Okay.
And they were like, you know what? Cool answer.
And they're like, okay, well, we won't suspend you then.
This is like when that Russian gymnast had roids in her, and she goes, well, I think what happened is I was kissing my grandfather... Kid you not.
What?
And the grandfather had been drinking some water that had some sort of anabolic agent in the water, and it transferred to his lips and got into her stream because he was like kissing her on the cheek. That was a real excuse that an Olympic gymnast used, and that's the only one more ridiculous than this. And yet this center guy, who I guess is like one of the best in the
world number one right now,
he got away with it. They were like, he had to sacrifice some money from some tournament that he won and vacate that, like, whatever tournament. And that's it. Now he's fine.
Well, that's great.
He was facing a major suspension, and they're like, nope, nope, just some inadvertent roid cream that my masseuse was rubbing on me. I just want, I'm waiting for the guy to be like, yeah, I went to an Asian massage parlor, you know, Bangkok. Next thing I know, the lotion she was using, it was all roided up.
It's a little bit like Barry Bonds. Like, you'll have to talk to my trainer, Greg Anderson. Yeah. I don't really know what he was up to. And then he's like, Greg Anderson won't talk. So what do we do?
It's kind of amazing. And yet it worked.
Well, it is a wonderful little Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. I'm Isaac. That's Big Sook. He's right over there. Look at him.
Right.
Looking all sexy.
Thank you.
Over there.
I'm all shiny. I'm freshly shaved. Not that you noticed, but
same. Freshly shaved? Your head, you mean?
Just saying. You know,
no, your head looks the same every day.
I try to look pretty for you. I try to clean it up, and you don't notice.
No, dude, your head looks the same every single day. As a matter of fact, you could look in the mirror and go, ooh, I need to shave.
Yeah.
I would never
that hurts.
See that.
I just say we've been together that long. It doesn't even matter.
It all just looks like a giant penis.
Mm, it's disappointing.
With a hairy ball.
With a merkin.
With a hairy ball sack on
just
it.
Google largest penis in the world and the dude pops up.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll get you ready for week zero. It is week zero. About time to talk about week zero.
Yeah, it is.
Coming up this hour. Coming up tonight in the club. What if your pilot isn't certified to land your jetliner?
Oh.
This story we were trying to get to last night, we never did.
No, we never did. That's
Johnny Cash would not approve of this next story. That
We got caught up in the fake millionaire or billionaire yacht.
That's
sinking,
right.
Because that's clearly a fake death.
Stole the show. Yeah, somebody else brought up that perhaps he was offed. Do you think he was offed?
Oh, I suppose. Well,
because that's possible, too, for a rich guy like that.
Yeah, but like he ran into a water spout, like tornado in the middle of the ocean.
Well, who does that? That's what I'm saying. Like
she's saying maybe
they
like,
took him in there.
They took him in there.
Let's kill him.
You know, that's actually.
Because nobody else. Well, I guess somebody did die.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't supposed to.
Yeah. Look, that's a great idea because mine always is just like take your spouse on a cruise and then just shove them off the boat in the middle of the night. This is a pretty good one, too. You just take a boat and then pay someone to drive in the middle of a storm, dump the guy off, like, and be like, oops, he went overboard. Maybe the dude dove in after the billionaire was like, sir, save, you know, I'll save you. And then they both died. And you're like, eh. Everyone else was fine.
Also, what is the most popular sex position?
Oh.
An expose.
Really?
Tonight in the club.
How about that?
Right now.
I believe that's called the Dutch rudder.
I've choked a cook.
It happens.
The Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com. Number five.
There's a report from Mark Stein, noted basketball scribe Mark Stein, that Steve Kerr will not return as U.S. men's basketball coach.
Yeah.
Two replacements being eyed are Eric Spoelstra and Tyronn Lue.
If you're Steve Kerr, you don't want that mess anymore. Like, you took all that criticism. By the way, do coaches get a gold medal?
They do not.
I was going to say, because like really? in hockey, I know they don't.
Nope.
Why? Yeah.
I remember like I think it was the Redeem team famously all went put their medals on Coach K because he doesn't get one.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they get one?
I would think, but the reason Herb Brooks, the Miracle on Ice, he never got a gold medal.
Yeah, the coaches don't.
Which does seem a bit,
that's
bit silly.
That's dumb.
But, you know.
That's just dumb.
Well, then does like every coach for every runner and every individual gymnast or like, I mean, that's what you get into.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
That's a little different though. A team coach versus an individual coach.
Yeah. I guess I didn't really think about that, but that is a, you know, interesting point.
Spoelstra, by the way, in a
number
landslide.
Four.
Yeah, that's the
Spoelstra's the 100%. Best coach out there.
And he's worked with the Team USA before.
Yeah, he was on this staff here. This did just one. USC officially names Miller Moss QB1. The Trojans made a run at Alabama's general manager, Courtney Morgan.
And they said no.
And you may be going, wait a minute. Alabama has a general manager?
A lot of places do now.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, their general managers or chief of staff, you know.
But he stays with the Tide after getting a big raise. He goes from $500,000 annually to $825,000 annually. He will be college football's highest paid front office figure.
Yeah.
He came to Tuscaloosa from Washington with Kalen DeBoer, and they say he is instrumental in landing the number 2 ranked recruiting class for 2025.
I was listening to an interview today. I don't know, was it with Andy Staples or one of the college football talking heads? And they were asking the question, are we going to see a point now where general managers become the face of college football teams and they stick around even when coaches leave? Because, I mean, that's the pro thing. I mean, coaches come and go, but you said it's, if you have a great, like if you're Oregon and you have a, or Ohio State and you have a great general manager, chief of staff, whatever you want to call it, right? And your coach moves on, pay the money to keep that guy there because there's stability there.
Yeah.
As long as you have him there and he goes and assists with the next coach.
That's
so we may be seeing a new era of college football and the rise of the general manager.
Justin Herbert is back at Chargers practice for the first time since July, which is a good sign as he battles plantar fascia in his little tootsie.
Yeah, and that's probably something that he's going to have to battle all year, and you'll manage it, and you know, you'll see him in a boot from time to time and probably take some injections, but you know, people play through this, and if you're a Charger fan, thank God you don't have to watch Easton Stick anymore.
The Bills are shuffling quarterbacks after injuries to backups Shane Buechele and now Mitchell Trubisky. They signed Ben DiNucci, who played in last week's game.
The DiNucci!
And former Duck Anthony Brown, now a Bill.
Yeah, they're saying Trubisky's going to miss a significant time with whatever the hell he's got.
So they got to find a backup.
Yeah, maybe,
they don't have a backup.
Maybe Tommy Cutlets is available. I think he's still in New York. What if you had DiNucci and Tommy Cutlets?
Too much Italian in one room. Wow. It's all at the Gabagool.
Tommy DeVito and DiNucci.
Ryan Tannehill's out there.
Yeah.
He'd go play for the Bills, wouldn't he?
I would assume.
Apparently he's real picky, but
no. Look, you can do. I don't know if he's waiting for a starting job. But yes, I would go. I would go back up Josh Allen.
Well, the Mariners have lost 6 of 7. They have scored just 9 runs in those 6 losses. They were shut out last night. Tonight they turn to Bryce Miller against the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's not good right now. They went from 10 up in that division to now 5 back. They're 6.5 back in the wild card, and it feels like. It feels like the fork in them. It may just be getting ready to.
They can't freaking hit.
Stuck in there. Well, and the Astros are just pulling an Astros here. And just, you know, it's the ship's passing in the night. And it just doesn't feel like Seattle has any opportunity here to get back on track.
It might pleasure you to know the Red Sox lead the Astros 1-0 in the second inning.
Yeah, so they were up on them all last night. And what did the Astros do? Walked it off on them.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mariners pitched a gem. And then gave up the home run, and thanks for coming.
Couple of scores. Orioles lead the Mets 3-1 in the fourth. Yankees are trailing the Guardians 3-2 also in the fourth. And the other stuff, I don't know. Who cares? Rockies Nationals.
Does that do anything for you?
No.
What about the Reds Blue Jays, huh?
And we have a kickoff time for Oregon State, Ohio.
Are you okay over there?
Ohio State, Oregon.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're playing in football.
Mm-hmm.
They will be playing October 12th at Autzen Stadium. Big, big game. We're now seeing that it's going to be at 4:30.
Let's go.
On NBC. And that's a good kickoff time, I think, right? For
yes.
The commuter people,
that's
the people that go down there.
Yeah.
Because you get the day to drink, but it's also not, getting out of there so late.
There's also an earlier window for people to choose when to go down. When you have one of those noon kickoffs, everyone has to go down at the same time in the morning.
Yeah.
This way, you can it gets staggered more.
If you want to go down in the morning and get all blotto, great. If
good
you want to
point.
Go down and have a little more of a reasonable tailgate, I love the 4:30 kick.
Yeah. It's the perfect kick.
And you're not home at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's great. All right, Victorico's Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victoricos.com. Should we talk some college football? I think we should. It's week 0.
Some week 0?
It's over!
Let's go.
Get excited.
We think.
That's next on The Fam.
Standing in the huddle.
Ahoy!
Listening to the call.
Yeah, somebody was texting in.
Fans going crazy.
And they were asking, because we were talking about the Alabama GM.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked, do all colleges have one of these? And I don't know that they actually call them the general manager.
Most big programs now have Oregon, they call it the chief of staff.
Yeah. And his name is Marshall.
He's from A&M, if I'm not mistaken.
Malchow? I don't know. Malchow. I was just looking at Oregon's website.
Yeah.
And, you know, they list all the coaches, right?
Yeah.
And I think now you can have unlimited coaches, can't you?
That may be coming. I don't know if it's here yet.
I think that's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's a bunch of coaches. And then they list support staff. There are 30 people.
Yeah.
with different titles listed under support staff.
See, that's what I think you can do unlimited. I don't know about, you might have to still have the same number of coaches, but I think you can employ as many people as you want.
I think, honestly, because now there is a limit, or there always has been, which is why you have like analysts. So when you hire analysts, they can coach with the coaches, but they can't actually coach the players. But I think as part of the house settlement, which by the way, still has to get worked out, that, but that still hasn't become official yet because they're arguing over the details. I think as part of the house settlement, there is going to be unlimited coaching, but I don't think that's hit just yet.
So they have
the support staff is,
it's crazy. Yeah. They have a chief of staff and then a senior associate AD of administration and operations, assistant AD of football ops, director of football ops, director of external relations, director of player academic development, director of player development, director of community engagement, director of player personnel, director of recruiting strategy, director of on-campus recruiting, director of recruiting operations, five assistant directors of player personnel. God. Sorry, seven, a video coordinator, video production coordinator, senior assistant director of video, assistant video producer, director of digital media producer, sports science coordinator, equipment manager, football equipment administrator, senior sports dietitian, director of performance and sports science. Did I get them all?
I think you got it all.
I don't think I did. I think I missed one.
So
I'm sorry for leaving out the football equipment administrator.
Yeah,
this
is kind of how this is what college football has become. So whether it's the general manager, whether it's the chief of staff, basically you're the one in charge of the roster. You're the one in charge of making sure it's like you would. There's no difference between that and a GM of an NFL team. It's your job to know who's in and out of the portal. It's your job to understand what different recruits are looking for. It's your job to understand what the NIL budget is, who needs what. You're just in charge of the roster on that team, and it works hand in hand. But I remember when they brought in the Marshall Malchow guy or whatever, the chief of staff, that was viewed as a really, really big deal. That he was a very, very sought after guy.
What's he do?
He was at Georgia and he was at Texas A&M. And if you remember when A&M put together the apparently the recruiting class of the ages, that was his class.
That was all like the NIL money.
And he was given
Stuck in Nick Saban's craw with that.
Yes.
So he must have done something right.
So and he was working with their player personnel, and he is considered one of the most influential members of the recruiting game in the nation. So when you think about recruiting and how Oregon has exploded, dude, take nothing away from Dan Lanning and his staff. He's got hammer recruiters, but this guy that they brought in from Georgia and A&M, this Marshall guy, he is largely the one that is in charge of all that. It was a big get when Oregon got
him. Well, I'd like to talk to Lanning when we get him back on this fall, and it sounds like he's coming back to the show this fall.
I think so.
About this staff and the support staff and just what all they do to help him, because you're right. I mean, it's like, it's not all, it used to be just all the coaches.
Yeah.
But it's not that anymore.
No.
And, you know, you get all these player personnel people.
Yeah.
There's like seven of them, eight of them.
Well, and this guy worked under, he cut his teeth under Saban, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, Chris Peterson. He was the right-hand guy in recruiting efforts for every one of those places he was, including at Georgia when they put together five consecutive top five recruiting classes, the number one class in the country twice, and he goes to A&M, and within a year of being at A&M, they signed the number one overall class in the nation. And so what does Dan Lanning do, who knew him from his previous stops? One of Lanning's first things he did was, we're going to go get this guy. And all of a sudden, and not all of a sudden, but, you know, magically, Oregon goes from a very good recruiter to, oh my God, look what's happening here in the world of NIL. And it's not just about money. It is about efforts and having people in place. And this guy is a bigger role than anyone realizes.
What do you suppose he makes? Because I know that
they said that the guy at Alabama was the highest paid one now at $850. But
yeah, but he was at just $500.
Yeah.
A measly $500.
And who knows, man?
You know the other one? You know who the second highest paid guy is in this realm that I was reading today? Some guy at Texas Tech.
Really?
Yeah. He makes like 500 G's or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know what this Marshall guy makes, but. Well,
this is going to become the norm in college football. If you don't have one, you will have one real, real soon.
You kind of have to have one. Because he or she is solely in charge of combing through the talent, right?
Yes.
And like,
and making sure that you know what the talent needs and, you know, what's realistic, what's not. Okay.
Working the deals.
Yeah. And you're working down the line. It's that guy's job now to look at and say, hey, we've got three tight ends on our roster. What are the chances that next year we have three tight ends on our roster? Well, you, we know this kid may be sniffing around and this kid's not going to got a little playing time, but we got this recruit coming in. It is your job to manage the roster and make sure that you stay ahead of the curve and know what your kids want, know what other kids want, what who could or couldn't be in the transfer portal. I'll bet you that guy's big board. You think the big board in an NFL team is crazy? I'll bet you the ones in college are twice that because you're not dealing with 31 other teams. You're dealing with 100 plus other teams.
Which is why you need 8 player personnel people.
Yes.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And you're constantly recruiting your – not only are you trying to recruit others, you have to recruit your own kids. Like on a day-to-day basis and convince them that that's the place to be, which is why I wish I could remember who it was that I was listening to today. It was about a 6-minute interview that I saw on Twitter, and they were asking a question. I think it's a pretty good one is will eventually, because right now the kings of college football are what? It's the Kirby Smarts, it's the Dabos, it's the Dan Lannings, it's the Ryan Days, right? And forever, that has been the face of college football. But the one downside, especially at smaller programs that they were pointing out, is Jonathan Smith, for example, right? Jonathan Smith leaves Oregon State, and it's like he takes his coaching staff with him, he takes a bunch of his players with him, and it's like, oh my God, you're kind of left holding the bag. Luckily, Trent Bray sticks behind because you get him the head coaching job, but if Bray hadn't gotten the job, he'd be at Michigan State now too. And they were pointing out whether it's a big program or it's a small program or a mid-sized one. Are we going to get to a point where you go find, like, let's say a Chris Peterson type, right? That maybe doesn't want to be in the day-to-day involved of being a coach, but you, Barry Alvarez did this for years at Wisconsin. You're like, dude, that is our general manager, right? And regardless of what else happens, the face of Wisconsin football is Barry Alvarez. Coaches may come and go, players come and go. Barry Alvarez is always there. And that becomes the key figure for a program. And he provides stability no matter what happens at the coaching ranks. That guy is there. Are we just now scratching the surface? Because I promise you, if guys are making $850,000 now, in 3 or 4 years, guys are going to be making $3 and $4 million.
Totally see it. It does seem like it's headed that way. I mean, yeah. It's pretty clear. We just listed 30 support staff at Oregon. Yeah. Somebody asked on the Vancouver Ford text line, it's getting to the point where the recruiting ability of your coach is not all that important as opposed to your NIL budget and behind-the-scenes personnel.
It goes hand in hand, though, because you can't
you need both.
You can't just write blank checks because everyone can write checks.
Well, yeah, but do you then focus, like, does the GM then focus on just, you know, to your point of like, okay, so let's say it evolves 10 years down the road, you've got these GMs or these heads of personnel,
yeah,
and they start hiring coaches that, and they're looking at this going, well, you need to be able to recruit kids who want to play for them, yeah, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the players we give them. They need to, it's just like the NFL model. They need to be coached X's and O's wise. And so the X's and O's thing comes back into being the most important.
Could absolutely be that way. Because I could see a world where, because right now, dude, if you're a hammer recruiter in football, like, let's be honest, sometimes that's more important than being an X's and O's guy. It just is. Talent wins. Plain and simple. Now, it's nice when you have both, but talent wins. When you are a top 10 team in the country, you will win 10 games every year simply because you're just more talented than everyone that you play. But if I get a big fat NIL budget, I've got kick-ass facilities, I'm a prestige program. Is there an element to where I don't need the world's best recruiter? I just need someone that's willing.
Yeah.
I can't have Chip Kelly, who refuses to do it, or Joe Paterno, but I find a willing guy, right? Or someone that's just willing to go hire a handful of hammer recruiters, let that guy be the nerdy nerd guy that does the X's and O's stuff, and my NIL budget, a couple of my assistant coaches, and me as the chief of staff or player director, GM guy, I will take care of it, and I will deliver us talent. And all you have to do is, again, develop it and X's and O's. Yeah, I could absolutely see where there is a shift coming. Because the college football is such a weird spot right now. I mean, Oklahoma State, did you see what they're doing?
Yeah, this is on my notes here to talk about. They created an NIL helmet QR code.
Yeah, so while you're watching Oklahoma State play this year, if you want to, you can pause the game and you can take your phone and on the back of every, on the stripe, on the back of every Oklahoma State's player helmet will be a QR code. It's not to their individual one, but it is to the school's general NIL fund. So you can scan that and you can donate to the Oklahoma State NIL during the game by scanning a player's helmet. I'm sorry, that is weird as hell, but that's where we're at right now. And by the way, is it absurd to think one day that we're going to have where you can tip a player? You can tip a player. Like if a kid had his own personal QR code on there and you like that, you're like, hey, that's a sweet 12-yard touchdown run. I'm just going to send you $200
right now. Good block over there. You know what? I'll help you with that 15-yard penalty. Good on you for knocking that guy's block off. Here's $150.
Yeah.
I think the Oklahoma State QR code thing is smart.
I wonder what that's going to. I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't cost you much.
No.
I'd be fascinated to know what it generates, though.
Yeah.
But yeah. QR codes now, like, that's the thing. So when you see them,
yeah.
If you're even remotely interested, you click on those. I mean, that's how you get sure. to get to.
I just.
That's how they. In other words, it's going where people are, right? Like, yeah. you're trying to go out and raise NIL money. Hmm. You have to make it so effing easy for people.
Yeah.
And one way to make it super easy is if somebody's just sitting on their ass with their phone watching the game and they see a QR code, boom, that's the easiest way possible.
This is what I don't know yet. And I guess I haven't really explored this. I've got some people I suppose I could call. I wonder, in an NIL budget world where supposedly to be a competitive top 10 to 15 sort of recruiting team. You need a budget somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to, you know, 20 million a year. Like that seems to be kind of a general consensus. Like that's what we're doing. We've got to come up with on a year to year basis. Give or take. How much of that is mom and pop? Like I got to believe that the vast majority of that comes from people that aren't scanning QR codes and maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think smaller schools, they're piecing it together.
They're piecing together, but I
bigger
just,
schools, maybe not.
Yeah, I just wonder. I would, and I no one at Oregon, their staff is going to tell me anything, but I want to see if I can dig around because there's a couple other programs that at least I know some of kind of the boosters. I just would be interested to know what the balance is. Like if you're at, let's take a middle program, not, you know, take Michigan State, right? Because Michigan State's good program, but it's not Michigan. It's not, you know, it's not, you know, UMass. I wonder if their budget is $12 million a year for NIL. A million? Is that coming from mom and pop and 11 from the other? I just don't know.
I bet more.
You think there's more mom and pop?
Yeah, I do. Hmm. It depends on how hard they're hitting it. But yeah, I think they can scrounge up a little more than that.
Be interesting.
Well,
yeah, I think someone
how
said,
about you?
Someone
how about
said
this?
Think about the hundreds of thousands of people that might donate $5 to $10, though. But that's what I don't know. Will there be hundreds of thousands of people that donate $5 to $10?
I keep wondering, is there going to be a you know, random Joe who's, you know, drunk on a Saturday night and sees Oklahoma State on his TV? It's like, I like this game. I'm going to send him $10. Like, is that going to happen?
It's like a weird televangelist thing.
Guys, GoFundMe. People raise all kinds of money on GoFundMe for way dumber things.
Sure.
I mean, people give money all the time.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting people trained and going where they are, making it easy.
Yeah.
And that's what Oklahoma State's trying to do. I think it's just how hard you hit the pavement, but if you're really working your ass off to do it, especially if you're a school like Oregon State or whomever that doesn't have as many big donors, I think you can scrounge up a lot.
Good. Well, I mean, I guess that's how, like, you know, the Jesus people do it. Televangelists, right?
The Jesus people,
Well, I mean, dude, those guys are buying airplanes.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Kenneth Copeland of the world.
People will give money to what they believe in.
Yeah, mom and pop are sitting there on the couch and they're donating their $20.
Isn't Trump doing this to a degree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, play to people's emotions.
Blows me away. And people are still donating to it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. So why don't you make yourself useful and report back on this?
See what I can do.
How about that?
I got a couple programs that I think I know some people well enough that might be willing to spill a rough idea of what that of what percentage that is. And I bet you're right. I bet you the bigger the program, the less the mom and pops play a role.
Yeah. All right. Well, week zero isn't much, but we'll tee that up next. and a stark reminder of the ever-growing power gap in college football. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That you love me, yeah.
All right. Well, it is week zero. College football, that's good. Got some games this weekend. The problem is, they're not good games.
No. Week zero never gets any good games, I feel like.
So we've got Florida State, who is ranked 10th, playing Georgia Tech in Dublin. But after that, the next top 25 team to take the field won't be until a week from this Thursday.
Yeah.
NC State, Kansas, Missouri, and Utah all play cupcakes.
Yeah, Kansas has mighty Lindenwood? Ooh. And then the big Utah, Southern Utah tussle. Boy, that's good.
So, I don't even know. When's like the real good?
Next, the Saturday after that, the August 31st, so two Saturdays from now, we get 14 Clemson. I guess technically it's a neutral field, but it's in Atlanta, and they play number one Georgia, so...
Clemson and Georgia.
14 versus 1.
All right.
And I'm trying to look at the other. That's really the only. Miami, Florida. So Miami's 19th. Florida's not ranked. Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, it's fine.
That may be it. Notre Dame, A&M. There you go. 7 versus 20.
Ooh. Notre Dame plays A&M. That's good.
And then that Sunday. We get a standalone game. We got 23rd ranked USC in Nevada at the Raider Stadium. They're playing 13 LSU.
LSU, that's right.
So there you go.
Okay, so some...
Those are your...
so we got to wait till next week.
Got to wait till next week.
Next weekend.
Yes. This, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess if Florida State does anything for you, I mean, I guess you get to watch DJ, right? DJU?
Oh, yeah, DJU.
He's their quarterback.
I'm pretty sure I know what he looks like.
Yeah. You want to watch Bronco Mendenhall and the New Mexico Los Lobos take on Montana State?
No.
What about SMU Nevada? No. Delaware State Hawaii? No. That's all you get. Those are the only games this Saturday.
So one other reminder of the ever-growing...
That's the only slate. We got four games.
Power gap in college football. The Wall Street Journal put this out there. And I thought it was interesting. They are talking about... Well, the title of it is The Numbers That Show the Growing Divide in College Football. Okay, so it's the transfer portal. And it says that it hasn't merely led to unprecedented player movement. It's also created a de facto farm system for the biggest programs. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at the group of five leagues.
Yeah.
And how many of their players they've lost.
Yeah. I'll bet you the number is ginormous.
So this says players move in all sorts of directions. Bench warmers on top teams look for less heralded programs where they might earn more playing time. Late bloomers who landed at smaller schools jump ship for bigger stages with better odds of drawing attention from NFL scouts and earning money from deep-pocketed booster collectives. To illustrate this point, the Wall Street Journal reviewed the 2023 first-team all-conference selections for the five smaller leagues that compete the top tier of Division One. That complete the top tier of Division One. These conferences are the American Athletic, Conference USA, Mid-American, the Mountain West, and the Sun Belt, known collectively as the Group of Five.
Sure.
The impact of the transfer portal is striking. After eliminating those who graduated or departed for the NFL, a whopping 40% of the remaining players with all conference honors switched to another program.
Okay, I'm following you.
No reaction to that?
Well, I mean, none of that should shock you at all. So the best players from the lesser teams are going to play at better schools for more money.
Well, I mean, it said 40%. Was that higher or lower than you thought?
I mean, that's a lot of players.
But this, again, this is just all conference players.
Again, but still, I know, but that's what you're the best. So almost half of the best players in the Power Five every year leave. I mean, that's brutal.
And
I mean,
it said the vast majority of them bolted to a team in the Power Four.
Yeah.
Even when adding second and third team all-conference picks, 36% wound up transferring.
Yeah. So again, you're just... look, if you're a Group of Five team, and my guess is, and this is just, you know, knee-jerk stuff, that number would be higher if the other schools wanted them. So let's say you're an all-conference whatever, you know, at you know, the American conference. Just because you're a second-team all-conference player or the first-team left tackle doesn't necessarily mean that anyone's really coming for you. So I'd be interested to know how many of those players really are getting significant offers. Because, yes, 40% are leaving. How many are choosing to stay despite better offers? So that may only actually be telling you a fraction of the problem. And by the way, this doesn't even count in the lesser Power Five schools. Remember, was it 2 years ago when Gibbs, Alabama went and got Jahmyr Gibbs? He came over from Georgia Tech. They went and got Louisville's best receiver. They went and got Vanderbilt's best O lineman, and they got who was it? They got, I want to say it was like North Carolina State's best edge rusher. They went around to the crappy Power Five schools and were like, we want your best, no, your best, sure. Your best, your best, your best.
That's definitely
and
true.
Come play here. I mean, I'm not trying to throw any shade at Oregon State because what happened to them was a product of something much bigger. But that's like when Jonathan Smith leaves and you get, you know, relegated to the, you know, the little Pac-2 here. You know, the Damian Martinez's of the world and the Aiden Childs. And so your best linebacker, your two best DBs, your best tight end, your best quarterback, they all left to go to other Power Five programs. So it's a massive problem from the Group of Five, but I still think it's a huge problem for the Purdue's of the world or the Louisville's of the world and the Georgia Tech's.
Somebody texted the Vancouver Fort text line and said, small schools need to figure out how to implement sell fees to bigger schools, a la soccer, and how the EPL buys players off of smaller clubs.
That's called collective bargaining, and it's illegal.
Yeah. It's just their farm system.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, Jimbo Fisher called them JUCOs, basically.
Pretty much.
A lot of these leagues have just become JUCO.
The whole unlimited transfer thing has really made it tough, because it used to be that you would... Kids were forced to make a commitment that was somewhat binding for a period of time, it seemed. Yeah. And, like, obviously things didn't work out one place. No. You maybe go to the next. But now it's, like, three, four, five schools for some of these guys.
Cam Ward starts out at Incarnate Word, jumps to Washington State, has a nice run at Washington State, and now he's in Miami, right? Like, that's just... And I can't fault Cam Ward. I don't fault anyone for this. I mean, I'm looking through here just this year. I found a list of players that are expected to make big impacts at the Power Five level. Fresno State's best defensive player is now starting for USC. Weber State's best defensive player now starting on BYU's defensive line. The best receiver, one of the best receivers best corner for LSU came from Texas San Antonio. I mean, and the list just goes on and on and on of these guys that were, to your point, all-conference players. South Carolina's starting running back that's an all-conference preseason selection. He came from Memphis. I mean, it is a never-ending list of players like this. And you can't fault any of them, because if you're at one of these schools and your NIL budget is you can offer a kid $150,000 if you're lucky, probably more like $65,000, and he still has to play at Texas San Antonio, and LSU comes calling and says, hey, man, you want, I don't know, $750,000? And by the way, you get to play at LSU. Instead of playing in front of 8,000 fans, would you like to come play at Death Valley in front of 95 and potentially win an SEC and a national championship and maybe get a better shot to go in the NFL? I just don't see how this ever changes. So you are just underscoring a much larger problem that goes across the group of five and the lesser power fives. But that's kind of shocking when you think 40% of all conference players in the group of five every year will move on to greener pastures. I'll tell you what, though, like BYU, I was a 2-time all conference player, 100% would have been gone. Not even a question.
Because you would have had offers.
Yes.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yes.
It's like you getting more stuff.
Well, and I
more money.
Well, I would have left earlier on, but still, like the moment that happened, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out of here. Like we're going. Cause when I got to BYU, I didn't realize that playing in the Mountain West kind of sucked. Just did. You know, at the time when I was recruited, I was like, oh, we play 3-4 big teams every year. And, you know, BYU's a top 25 program. And I'm like, oh, but I'll tell you, man, the week-to-week stuff, it sucks. It absolutely sucks playing New Mexico and all that. And at my first opportunity, I would have gotten the hell out of there and gone to greener pastures.
Well, this is all, you mentioned it, it's all going to be collectively bargained eventually.
Yeah.
And there will probably be some sort of contractual structure.
Well, and if it does get collectively bargained, that's going to be the nice part is that, yes, then you can sign contracts.
Yes.
And you can hold, kids can't just leave whenever they feel like
right.
it. There will be incentive for kids to stick around. And then that's going to get into a whole other thing, whereas, you know, does someone offer you a 1-year deal or does someone offer you a 3-year deal?
Right.
Does someone offer you 1 year of guaranteed money or do they
or give does the kid say, I only want a 1-year deal to go to UTSA?
I'm betting on myself.
You can get me for a year, but guess what?
Yeah.
I want to be a free agent after my freshman year.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird.
It's going to be wild.
And this goes back to what we were talking about in the previous segment. This is where a general manager, a chief of staff is really going to come into play, is being able to negotiate all that stuff and work with it and find out what kid is a 1-year deal kid, what kid is a 3-year deal, you know, all that stuff.
All right, up next, the latest on Noah Lyles v. Tyreek Hill. Isaac and Suk on the Fan. Yeah, it's weird to think about, but what about college football trades? What if the Ducks just traded Dylan Gabriel? Probably wouldn't do that.
But they're like, listen, we like the guys we got in our quarterback room, and we need some depth on both of our lines, so if you send us 4 blue chip linemen, we'll give you Gabriel.
Let's do it.
One of these days, I do want to get on something, Buck. You put it in the the old hopper there. I heard an interview once when, you know, sometimes when you leave, you know, we have the station on my car and they'll have whatever Ducks Roundtable, Ducks Insider, Ducks, you know, a la carte. There's always some sort of duck show.
Ducks Coaches Show.
Yeah. And they had, one of them had the Oregon, what would you say? It was like their academic, the person responsible for academic progress. It was a lady. And I'll tell you what.
Like their associate AD of academics, maybe something like
that. Yeah. And that poor bastard that's in charge of the transfer, because, you know, all these kids that are transferring, you know, believe it or not, they do all have to enroll in school and classes.
Like credits and things like that.
And I guess there's different transfer portal windows for the transfer portal windows are not the same for different athletes. And not every, some schools are on semesters, some schools are on quarters. I listened to her go through what it's like trying to get kids to other places and bring them in and stay academically qualified. And look, I understand that academics and all of this are so far down the list, but you at least have to pretend that these things matter.
Does schools still have to jump through those hoops?
And it seems like a lot to deal with. And that is one aspect. Anytime you think about these kids that are swabbing, anyone that's transferred schools, my son is transferring colleges right now. And just even transferring from, like, you would think transferring from a state school to another state school, everything would transfer. Wrong. It's a nightmare getting credits transferred over. And I think about these kids that have been at now 3-4 different schools. And some schools don't have the same programs, especially athletic degrees, quote, where they're kind of funneled into one thing. That's the aspect of this, that if you really want to make academics irrelevant, you've kind of achieved that at this point, because you just, the thing's kind of become a joke.
Well, and the other aspect is if it was up to all these kids to figure out this thing on their own, if they didn't have the support staff, nobody would transfer. It would never happen.
It's impossible. But I just remember listening to that interview, and it kind of roped me in, and I was just listening to the difference between, you know, what a transfer from gymnastics has to deal with versus football versus basketball. And I just thought to myself, dude, if I'm that lady, I go find another line of work. But, you know, she claimed she enjoyed it, and it's just kind of one of those. You mentioned the 90 people on the support staff at Oregon. Well, there's another one in there. And think about what that lady's job entails and how many, it's not uncommon now for 40 new players to be on a football roster.
And you'd probably have just as many leave.
Yeah.
to be fair, it was only 30.
30. You know, it's crazy. Now, I know some of them, like Dylan Gabriel, have already graduated, but then you're getting them into graduate programs and all that stuff, which is why, if you remember, there was a mass exodus out of Stanford, because the Stanford kids, once they graduated, they couldn't get into any Stanford graduate programs. So the Stanford people were telling their kids to stop taking as many classes. Like, because once you graduate from Stanford, none of those football kids, I can't say none, the vast majority of them will not get in to a postgraduate Stanford program.
Well, because Stanford as a program, even for undergrad, you have to qualify academically before they will give you the scholarship.
Yeah, but here's the dirty secret about Stanford, and it's the same thing about most smart schools, is they talked to me about this when I was getting recruited by Stanford. Now, I did not academically qualify for Stanford.
No way.
Yeah, they were like, yeah. My junior year, they thought maybe I would. And then my senior year, they were like, you realize you have to keep working. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But the guy, I remember my junior year when I was getting recruited by Stanford, he told me, he goes, look, all you need to do is get into Stanford. Once you get into Stanford, even Stanford has jock classes. They have liberal arts degrees that they can funnel you towards. So look, not everyone at Stanford is majoring in biology. There's a lot of dumb classes there too.
Didn't Jim Harbaugh kind of usher a little bit of this in?
Yeah.
He was like, hey, we need better players. So yes, we need
some dumb classes.
Yeah.
And dumb's not the right word. It's just easier.
Yeah, they're probably still pretty smart.
Easier classes. But once you graduate Stanford, there are no graduate dumb classes. So this is where schools like that are behind the eight ball, is they can't get kids that stick around after they graduate, and they can't bring in graduate transfers. No offense to Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel ain't getting into a Stanford graduate program. That doesn't work. And no kid can really even transfer into Stanford. So schools like that now are really, really behind the eight ball.
All right, well, I was going to update you on Tyreek Hill v. Noah Lyles.
Yeah. Noah Lyles won't shut up.
But that'll have to wait. Well, Tyreek Hill won't either.
Well, no.
I heard he brought another Olympian into things. Yeah. Noah Lyles did.
Is it possible that I just dislike both of them immensely?
Well, of course.
Because I really dislike Tyreek Hill, like, a lot. That dude's a scumbag, but Noah Lyles isn't a scumbag, but he sure is a dumbass.
That's like horseradish.
He's a bad guy.
Well, we're out of time, so I'll have to tell you about that tomorrow. Okay?
Yeah.
A more important topic is up next. The fan personality you would most like to see naked.
Looking right at him.
Thank you.
I was looking at Buckley.
Oh, damn it.
I'd like to see what Buckley's got going on in there.
I just want to tell you that I just went to the bathroom the last break because I'm basically incontinent now.
Yeah.
And there
you
was...
Do I had to squirt a lot.
There was a naked fan personality.
Whoa!
In the, there was.
Really?
Because there's a shower in there.
Yeah.
So he was taking a shower.
Someone else besides me showers here, huh?
Yeah. So this marks the second fan personality I have seen naked.
I thought I was the only one.
Not anymore.
I'm a little jealous now.
So that raises the topic.
Yeah. In the 10-8 of the fan calendar, what's the prime month? Like,
yeah.
Christmas, maybe? December?
Well, wouldn't you put it... Can we talk about this
next?
Yeah,
we'll talk about it next.
It's just a tease, okay?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
All right, we'll be right back with Club 1080.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!